The second failure of the immune system is when we have a condition or several conditions called immune deficiency. Our immune system just does not work right. Now, we talked about hypersensitivity, where it overdoes itself. Now we've got a condition of where it underdoes it. It does not do what it's supposed to do. Who has immune deficiencies? What is the effects of immune deficiencies? Well, you may have a recurrent, acute, or chronic infection. It is usually in young children. Opportunistic organisms may be involved. Responds very poorly to therapy. This person just fails to thrive. There are different treatments for immune deficiency, and we will talk about some of those treatments as we go through a discussion. I want you to understand that there are five kinds of immune deficiency, five classification categories. You may have a phagocytic defect. You may have a complement defect. You may have a B cell defect, a T cell defect, or the worst of the whole bunch is you may have a combination B T cell defect. Now, that's the five categories that we're going to talk about. The first category that we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about phagocytic defects. Immune defects in our phagocytic system. We are not going to talk today about every one of these in great detail because you do have those notes. I want to tell you what the most likely thing that the USMLE would ask you. The most likely one that they would give you is this first one here. It's called chronic granulomatous disease. We mentioned that the other day when we were talking about phagocytic cells. We told you that it is a defect in the NADPH oxidase. And if it is a defect in that NADPH oxidase, this neutrophil is not able to generate these toxic materials that kill bacteria. As a result of that, what kind of an infection is that person going to have? They're going to have lots of bacterial organisms that they cannot phagocytize. There is a test for this, and this test you should know. You don't need to know all the details of it, but it is called the NBT test. Nitro blue tetrazolium test. It is a test to prove that these oxygen intermediates are present. You're going to take a phagocytic cell and you're going to place some bacteria and you're going to place nitro blue tetrazolium in the presence of all of that. And if this cell is normal, it will cause a purple-blue positive color. That means it can kill. So the disease is not that. But if you look at the phagocytic cells of this person and it stays yellow, it does not convert. That means it is not producing any oxygen intermediates. And as a result of that, that person has chronic granulomatous disease. Now, there are some other phagocytic defects. I think you can see if somebody did not have any integrins where they could not adhere, their white cells could not adhere to membranes, then they would never get passed across the epithelium. So there is a condition called LAD, leukocyte adhesion deficiency. That is not very common, but it certainly can occur, and that is going to result in recurrent extracellular bacterial organisms. There is a disease called Shadeck-Higashi syndrome, in which the phagocytic cell, it is present, and it works, but it doesn't work to its maximum. It forms great, big, giant lysosomes. So you have very large lysosomes, and not only that, one of the clinical signs of this is albino. You may be a partial albinism involved in this disease. So that is the first phagocytic defective disease. It's called chronic granulomatous disease, and the test for it is the NBT test. That detects whether they have the oxygen-killing intermediates being formed or not. The second type of immune deficiency is a deficiency in the complement system. Now, that's going to be discussed on the next page. However, we do have some clinical correlates on this page that involve deficiencies of complement. I think you can understand if you don't have enough C3, then you're going to have a great deal of problems in what? Opsonization. In opsonization. If you're missing a lot of C5 through C8, then you may have some problems in lysing cells. If you are deficient in C5 through 8, you're probably going to have recurrent Neisseral infections. And I would imagine you talked about that in microbiology part of the section. There are other types of complement deficiencies that can occur. What's going to happen if you have a C1, C4, or C2 deficiency? What system is going to not work as well as it should, the classical or the alternative pathway? Well, it's going to be the classical pathway. The third type of immune deficiency would be a deficiency of B cells. A deficiency of B cells. The most important disease that you need to know in this category, there are several that we're going to talk about, but the one most likely that USMLE is going to ask you is going to be a B cell deficiency called Bruton's X-linked hypogammaglobulinemia. That individual has a very low level of all immunoglobulins. There is no circulating B cells. There are only pre-B cells in the bone marrow. There is normal cell-mediated immunity. So that means that person would respond to virus infections and fungus infections, but they would not respond to strep and staph and bacterial organisms. This is called Bruton's agammaglobulinemia. You can see the characteristics. Now, there are some other B cell deficiencies. They aren't quite as dramatic as Bruton's would be, but another example is called transient hypogammaglobulinemia in infancy. I want you to note that that person has a delayed onset of immunoglobulins. This may not be seen until the 5th or 6th month of life, and it usually resolves itself when the kid is about 2 or 3 years old. It is just a transient hypogammaglobulinemia. That person might have to have some immunoglobulin during that particular time. Well, they will have to have during that particular time. So B cell deficiencies include Bruton's and transient. Another type of B cell deficiency is called common variable hypogammaglobulinemia. Immunoglobulin levels decrease the older you get. This usually doesn't develop until somebody is in their late teens or early 20s. And then it can be any one of these classes of immunoglobulins. There is another type of B cell deficiency in which there is a selective immunoglobulin deficiency. An example of that, the most common example of that, is a deficiency in IgA. If you have an IgA deficiency, then what are you more likely to get? You're more likely to get organisms that are what? Membrane organisms, Neisseria, strep pneumo, etc. Okay? We're going to continue on now with our immune deficiencies. And we're going to talk about T cell deficiencies. One of the primary diseases we want to talk about is DiGeorge syndrome. The mechanism of action of DiGeorge syndrome is the fact that we fail to develop a third and fourth pharyngeal pouch. If we do not develop a third and fourth pharyngeal pouch, we do not develop a thymus gland. In fact, we do not develop parathyroid glands. If we do not have any parathyroid glands or we do not have any thymus glands, then obviously we're going to have this T-cell deficiency, but you will also have other consequences of that. You will notice that you may end up with tetany. Your calcium is off. You may end up having tetanus. You may have cardiac anomalies. If you do not have T cells, you're going to have not recurrent extracellular pathogens. You're going to have recurrent intracellular pathogens, such as fungus, viral infections. You have no thymus. And another example is chronic mucocutaneous candidiasis, in which your T cells just cannot kill candida. And that is the only organism that you have a problem with. So we have now discussed phagocytic defects, complement defects, B cell defects, and T cell defects. Without doubt, the most dangerous of all of these is when you have combined, when your B cells and your T cells do not work properly. So combined diseases called SCID are some very, very bad immune deficiency diseases. There are several of them. One of them is called ADA deficiency. Normally we take deoxyadenosine and using the enzyme ADA, we break it down to non-toxic deoxyinosine. However, if somebody is ADA deficient, they do not have that enzyme, and as a result, they end up producing deoxyadenosine phosphate. And that is toxic to T cells, the precursors, and as a result of that, we're going to have a major immune problem with that. You're going to end up with major immune deficiency. Severe combined immune deficiency diseases are of several types. In this discussion, we don't have time to do every one of them. But understand that you could be in major problems if you don't have any class 1 molecules. If you're deficient in class 2 molecules, if you're deficient in T-cell receptors, in cytokine receptors, in signal transduction molecules. Now, this is important to note right up here that in ADA, this is one of the real hopes of gene treatment. It is now possible to treat these people that have ADA deficient by giving them the gene. This gene is inserted. It's used, I think a virus is used for insertion of this particular gene. But you can actually use gene therapy for treatment of this particular disease. Now we've got some more very serious combined immunodeficiency diseases that you should be aware of. You should be aware of Wiskott-Aldridge syndrome. Wiskott-Aldridge syndrome is a very complicated immune deficiency disease, and it usually has a triad associated with it. What would be noticed first in this immune deficiency disease? You would have a child that can't clot. They're bleeding all the time. This child is thrombocytopenic. The second thing that you would notice on this child is it would have a rash on the skin. It has eczema. And the third thing in this triad is immune deficiency. So Wiskott-Aldridge syndrome, called WAS disease, W-A-S, is a triad of symptoms starting with bleeding, skin rash, immune deficiency. The next page shows you this triad. You will see it's thrombocytopenia, eczema, a rash, and immunodeficiency. The last SCID type, combined immunodeficiency disease, is ataxia telangiectasia. This particular disease is noted by the ataxic uncoordinated muscle movements, telangiectasia, dilation of small vessels, particularly of the sclera of the eye, and you have immunodeficiency involved. You have sinopulmonary infections. This, in a nutshell, is a good summary. If you are deficient in B cells, you usually are going to get pyogenic extracellular bacteria, pus-forming extracellular bacteria. If you are deficient in T cells, you are going to usually get virus or fungal infections. If you are deficient in complement, particularly C3, you are going to get pyogenic infections. If you're deficient in the later proteins of the complement cycle, you're probably going to get Neisseral infections. If you have phagocytic defects, you're probably going to have problems with extracellular organisms.